الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, those sisters listening over receivers, and also this Juma, I believe, is over channel Islam. The ayat of the Quran Sharif which I have recited, we all make in dua. It is a dua which has been taught for the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And it was a very special gift that was given in the night of Mi'raj. As far as the night of Mi'raj is concerned, many, many talks have already been given, will be given, and are being given. In the 20 minutes that we have for a Jumu'ah occasion, we cannot discuss all aspects of Mi'raj. However, this ayat of the Quran Sharif, which is stated, was revealed in the night of Mi'raj, or given to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam as a very special gift. Just as Salat 5 times a day was given as a very special gift to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And also the maghfirat and the forgiveness of those sinners who are not committing kufr and shirk. So these were the three major gifts that were given in this night of Mi'raj. As far as this verse is concerned, it is not new to all listeners. We all have somehow, someday in our lives read this in the form of dua or heard it as recitation in some salat. Without going into any details, we can see that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is teaching the ummah to ask with the word Rabbana. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is given this as a gift in the night of Mi'raj. What we have to remember is that this is being given at a time when the ummah was going through a very, very difficult and a trying period in their lives. There was no time as more trying and more difficult upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam as during the last years before his hijrat to Madinah Tayyibah. The kuffar, the mushrikeen, and everyone had ganged up against him. We know of the persecution, the torture that the Muslims were suffering. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself was stoned in Taif. He was boycotted and ostracized for 3 solid years. The closest to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the most beloved of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, with his family, ostracized and boycotted for 3 solid years. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam loses his wife, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, in the 10th year. His uncle, Abu Talib, who was, although not a believer, but a very great support for him, he also passes away. Now all these kind of tests and trials were coming in at that time. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala took Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam for Mi'raj to show him that there is no such thing as Allah ta'ala is displeased with Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam and his companions in any way. All these things are sent as trials and tests to show to the world that these are the true believers in Allah ta'ala, irrespective of what kind conditions befall them, the most severe, most difficult, most hard and trying times, but it does not cause their iman to waver. It does not cause them to shake up even a little. Look at this recession around the world now. How many people have already committed suicide, and not people without any fortunes. I'm talking about those people who still have millions, but they are committing suicide. Because they lost a few million, so they are committing suicide. So it is only these people who had iman and faith and yaqeen in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that in spite of all torture and persecution, but they still stayed steadfast. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam at such a time in Mi'raj, look at the dua that he is being given. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. I'm just giving you the gist and the meaning that at a time when the Muslims are going through such kind of suffering, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told to teach this dua to his ummah and is given as a gift that don't seize us, don't punish us if we make mistakes, if we err, if we fault, if we have to do anything that is displeasing, which of course they never did purposely. So they are saying, oh Allah, do not punish us, do not seize us, do not call us to account for it. Now at a time when they are making such kind of sacrifices and such kind of difficulties and trials are coming, they are told to ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that not to hold them, punish them, seize them, if they have to make mistakes, if they have to err, if they have to fall. And then immediately after that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِسْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. And رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. If we have to take those two ayat again. Then, O Allah, do not put us upon us a burden like you placed on those before us. O Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, do not place upon us a burden like you placed on those before us. Now again, they are asking Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, for protection from such kind of burden. Instead of saying that we have done so much, and we have sacrificed so much, Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, is saying that He could have put more burden upon you. But since Allah Ta'ala does not put a burden more than a person can bear, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. So therefore this burden which is upon you is something that you can tolerate, you can bear. Teaching is a great lesson that even when a person is making a lot of sacrifices, when he's making namaz, zikr, tilawat, ibadat, at that time too the person must not think that he has done too much. And if any difficulty and test and trial comes, then he must not give up hope. He must not lose faith in Allah Ta'ala. He must not think that now so much has come upon me that I can't even bear this burden. Therefore, rather take my life. So what I was saying is that the beginning of that is Rabbana. Because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala makes tarbiyat from the time that the child is born. Who is it that makes the tarbiyat? Who is it that provides the needs of the child? Even in the mother's stomach, does the mother have any kind of control over the baby? Who is it that connects the heart, the liver, the lungs and everything else in the stomach, in the darkness of the stomach? Who is the one that blesses with the sight and with the hearing and the speech? And when the child is born absolutely useless, cannot even take care of its own hygiene, does not know how to add 1 + 1 = 2. And then slowly Allah Ta'ala gives that child that intelligence, that and that strength and that health and afterwards sometimes wealth and everything else, and that same child then rejects that Allah Ta'ala. So therefore, Rabbana, O our Rabb, because Allah Ta'ala is loving, Allah Ta'ala is showing that all these difficulties that you are going through, it is not because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants to punish you. He is your Rabb, He is your nourisher, He is your sustainer, and He knows what is the best for you and through which route to take you. So therefore, under all conditions, you must exercise sabr if it is difficulties, and make a lot of shukr if it is good times, good health, good wealth. This Rabbana is a very strange thing, that if you look at the ayat of the Quran Sharif, every Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made dua with Rabbana. Oh, our sustainer, oh, our Lord, oh, our nourisher, oh, our cherisher. In fact, before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala brought us into this world, in the alam-e arwa, in the world of the souls, the question that was put to the souls was, Alastu bi rabbikum, am I not your Rabb? Allah Ta'ala didn't say, am I not one of the other sifat and qualities and attributes of Allah Ta'ala, wasn't mentioned about Razzaq, or Allah Ta'ala is Alim, is Qadir, etc. Am I not your Rabb? Am I not your nourisher, cherisher, sustainer? Qalu bala, at that time in the Alam-e-Arwa, everyone said, definitely you are our Rabb. Then when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is telling the angels that He is going to create Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, of course there are lots of ayat, there is no time to go into anything. However, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala again addresses the angels. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. When Allah Ta'ala wanted to create this Khalifa, this vicegerent of His on earth, again Allah Ta'ala said, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ. When your Rabb, when your sustainer, when your cherisher, when your nourisher, when He addressed the angels and said, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. And then of course after that what the angels said, that is a different tafsir. But here again Allah Ta'ala addresses them with the same thing. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ. Then again when Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam is created, again Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ. When Allah addressed the angels and said, now make sajda to Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Again a Rabb of sustainer, cherisher, showing that He's got great love, great mercy, great compassion and kindness on this creation. Allah Ta'ala does not want to just destroy the creation and put them through difficulties for nothing. Again when Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam is put into Jannat and he makes some mistake, he was told not to eat of a certain fruit, but out of error of judgment, because he was told that if he eats that fruit, he will live forever and ever. And who does not want to live forever in Jannat? So he ate of that fruit. When they were sent onto the earth, the dua again, both of them make, Hazrat Adam and Hazrat Hawa. What is the dua? Rabbana zolamna anfusana. Rabbana zolamna anfusana. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Again they are asking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, oh our Rabb, oh our nourisher, oh our cherisher, oh our sustainer, because without you we cannot survive in this world. مُجْكُ جِينَ كَا سَحَارَا چَاہِيَ. مُجْكُ جِينَ كَا سَحَارَا چَاہِيَ. غم تمہارا دل ہمارا چاہیے. Oh my beloved Allah, how can I ever survive in this world without your help, without your nusrat, without your blessing me with my sight, hearing, speech, my life? How can I ever survive? I need your support every second and every moment of my life. A Muslim can never remain in this world unconnected or disconnected with Allah Ta'ala. If he has disconnected himself for whatever reason, if shaitan and nafs has overpowered him and he has disconnected himself with Allah Ta'ala, then he must realize that he has disconnected himself with the powerhouse. If we have our fans here and air conditioners here and we have everything, however it's not connected with the powerhouse, then you can keep on putting the switches on and off, nothing will happen. There has to be a connection. So if that connection has been disrupted, then what do? We straight away report to the municipality or to the electrical faults department that we have been disconnected. There's no electricity. We have paid our bills, but there's no electricity. So now they will find out what the cause is. But we are never satisfied. We don't say, never mind, let's live in darkness all the time now. Like that, this connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if it is disconnected, then our hearts become pitch black and dark. After that, the person cannot see what is right and what is wrong. The person will engage in discos and cinemas and theaters and adultery and fornication and porn sites upon porn sites. And if anybody has to tell him, then he will say, I can't help it, I'm addicted. Because he's disconnected that from the powerhouse, from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's rahmat and mercy. So therefore this Rabbana, 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 Zolamna Anfusana. Although it was just a mistake, but still this is Zolamna Anfusana, as if they committed some great injustice upon us. That is what Allah Ta'ala wants, beg of Him. So again what I was saying is that when they came into this world, again the first dua that they made, asking forgiveness from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala was Rabbana Zolamna Anfusana. If you have to look at the Quran Sharif, the beginning of the Quran Sharif is Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, who is the Rabb of all the worlds. all the different worlds, the world of the fish, the world of the angels, the world of the creatures, the world of human beings, there are so many thousands of worlds. Allah Ta'ala is Rabbul Alameen. He is the one who is nourishing and cherishing. He is the one who is sustaining all the worlds. You think the sky can just stand like that? And everything is just happening automatic, as they say. One little thing, we cannot believe that it just fell from the sky and connected itself to the ceiling. If anybody says this fan on the ceiling just fell from the sky and connected, we're not prepared to believe in that. But we're prepared to believe that the whole universe and the waters of the ocean and the sun and the moon and the stars, they're all functioning automatically. So therefore, Rabbana, again, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, commencing with Rabb, Rububiyat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We just cannot do without Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's help and assistance. Then if you look at the last verses of the Quran Sharif again, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقُ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Again Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is reminding us of His Rububiyat. Look at the du'as of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Just in one du'a, see how many Rabbana he aspected. Alhamdulillahi alladhi wahaba li ala al-kibari Ismail wa Ishaq. Inna Rabbi la sami'u du'a. Rabbi la sami'u du'a. Rabbi ja'alni muqim as-salah. Again, Rabbi ja'alni Rabb. Muqim as-salah wa min zurriyati. Rabbana wa taqabbal du'a. Look at his du'a when completing the Kaaba Sharif. Rabbana taqabbal minna. Innaka anta as-sami'u al-alim. Look at the dua of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at the dua of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at the dua of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Even when he's making bad dua for the people, that now Allah Ta'ala must destroy them there too again, Rabbana. So this is what we are being taught here. Rabbana la tu'akhizna in nasina aw akhta'na. Oh Allah, do not seize us, do not punish us, do not call us to account. Just give you the meaning. If we make some mistake, some error, some fault, then do not seize us. And when are they making this dua? Or when are they told to make this dua? When they have already made so much of sacrifices. They have steadfast. They have gone through boycott of the entire womb or family of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. They are being punished. They are being persecuted. They are being tortured. But Allah Ta'ala is not allowing them to cast their glance on what they have done. Allah Ta'ala is saying, look at your weaknesses, your faults, your shortcomings. And we immediately look at all the good that we have done in our lives. Instead of looking at our weaknesses and shortcomings and faults. There was no shortcomings and no faults and no weaknesses. But still their minds are being put onto what weakness they have. And the moment we suffer some kind of hardship, some kind of difficulty, then immediately we say, but I made so much of namaz, I made so much of zikr, I made so much of tilawat, I made so much of gush, I made so much of talim, I went so much to khanqas. And still I'm suffering these kind of difficulties and hardships. Therefore our hearts then suffer restlessness. But if the person has got this connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then any kind of condition, inside the heart there will a kind of sukoon, as I've been always saying, which even the kings of the world do not know, and they haven't experienced it. Last night also I explained that how can there be sukoon and at the same time the person is going through difficulty and hardship. I said, leave all the other examples. Simple example which all of us understand. Last night I gave that example that if a person is in Makkah Mukarramah now, or when the heat is 45 degrees, 50 degrees, at times it reaches up to 50 degrees. At that time also you will find in midday sun, really hot, the person is perspiring without even an umbrella, is making tawaf upon tawaf upon tawaf. Now, somebody tells him that you're going through a lot of difficulty. Why must you go through this difficulty and hardship? Who asked you to make that tawaf? Is it compulsory? Is it farz? He will say, what do you know? What enjoyment I'm getting in the heat of the sun? You can sit under the shaded area, but I'm getting enjoyment. Tahajjud time, the person is getting up in the darkness of the night when it's extremely cold weather, freezing sometime in certain areas, minus 15 and 16 in some places. And the person is getting up and making tahajjud salat. The person says, what is the necessity to make sleep? Those people who have got a passion, the marathon runners, irrespective of what kind of weather, they are hitting the road early part of the morning. So one side there's pain also, and one side there's enjoyment also. So So that is what I am saying, that if the person is connected with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then he will find a kind of enjoyment under all conditions. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is teaching this dua, that make this dua, that don't seize us. And then he's asking, do not place upon us a burden as you placed on those before us. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala placed very severe burdens on those before us. Look at their shariats, there was very, very stiff and hard and difficult rules there. Because of the barakat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made Islam easy and practical. And nothing difficult to practice in Islam. And do not place upon us a burden. Rabbana wa la tuhammil alayna. Rabbana wa la tahmil alayna isran kama hamaltahu ala alladhina min qablina. Rabbana wa la tuhammilna ma la taqata lana bi. Don't place on us a burden that we cannot bear. That means these difficulties and hardships and trials that you are going, the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhu majmaina told, that even more than that could have been placed upon you. So therefore make dua that, Ya Allah, don't place on us a burden more than we can bear. And immediately after that, now who is asking for forgiveness? Those who are the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's companionship, they become radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala pleased with them and they pleased with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But yet they are told, Rabbana ighfir lana wa la tuhammil alayna ma la taqata lana bih. Wa'afu anna, blot out our sins. Waghfir lana, and forgive us. Warhamna, and have mercy on us. Now these people, companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, just coming out of a boycott of 3 solid years, going through all the persecution and torture and tests and trials, and they are told that this is the dua now you must make. Blot out our sins. Forgive us, have mercy on us. This is the life of a Muslim, that he does everything that is pleasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but in deep heart he realizes that he cannot do justice to whatever he is doing. He cannot really do justice for all the favors that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has shown upon him. As I mentioned last night, again, that even if a person is suffering from one kind of sickness or the other, if he has to look at all the positives in his life, there's so much that he has to show gratitude to. And this is the weakness of the human being, that he does not show gratitude. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٍ. That the person is very, very, Allah Ta'ala says it, that insan is very ungrateful to his Rabb. لِرَبِّهِ, again we were discussing this word Rabb. And Allah Ta'ala says he's very ungrateful to his Rabb, the one who nourished him in the mother's stomach, the one who blessed him with so much of bounties and ni'mats. Gave him his intelligence and gave him his wealth and gave him his health and gave him so much. Gave him shelter, gave him food to eat, gave him so many things to drink and clothing to wear and cars to travel about and so many ni'mats. But he will only focus on that one sickness, or he will only focus on that one weakness or that one difficulty and one test and one trial that has come from Allah Ta'ala. And he'll forget all the other bounties. Whereas even if he looks at those sicknesses and weakness, if he looks at those tests and those trials, there's so much of blessings even in that. There's so much of blessings. A person just doesn't realize how much of blessings there is even in his weakness. We must not ask Allah Ta'ala for weakness. We must not ask Allah Ta'ala for sickness. We must not ask Allah Ta'ala for poverty. We must not ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for tests and trials, because we are extremely weak servants of Allah Ta'ala. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will inevitably put a person through different tests and trials. The moment we claim that we are Allah's, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will test us. But when those tests come, if we have got that connection with Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala gives that himmat and the courage and the strength to overcome those tests and trials, with sukoon in the heart, without any restlessness, the person, if there is any fear of death at that time, then the person is still enjoying a kind of sukoon, that if I have to die, then I will meet that Allah for whom I was making salat and giving zakat and fasting and making hajj, and for whom I was restraining myself from the haram. The young people around were enjoying themselves, but this young person was saying that my Allah must not become displeased, let people laugh and make a joke of me and criticize me and mock and tease me. But I will lower my gaze from haram. They can say they were enjoying the filthy films and movies and they were enjoying going to the haram establishment and music and discos and cinemas and theaters. But this young person says that they can call me Sufi Saab and they can call me whatever they like to. But if my Allah is pleased with me, then I have got the kingdoms of the world with me. So now this person, even if there's fear of death, then the person says, well, I will now meet that Allah for whom I was going through all these tests and trials. So there's nothing to fear for a Muslim and for a mu'min. In everything this khair. In everything this khair, there's goodness in it. If we have to look deeply into every situation, there's nothing but khair in it. This sickness, this heart attack at the airport there and coming back here. But when I look into it, there's so much of ni'mat, so much of ni'mat, I cannot make enough shukr of Allah. Look at the du'as in the Haram Sharif, so many people made tawaf, so many people made Yasin Sharif Khatam, so many made du'as by the Multazam, and so many made by Roza Mubarak, Salat and Salam, and du'as in so many other parts of the world, and locally, and everywhere, I don't know how many Khatams and du'as. Now is that not all ni'mat and blessings of Allah Ta'ala in a disguised form? But as I said, that we must not ask because we are extremely weak. We must ask Allah Ta'ala for afiyat, for salamati, good health, for all His blessings, both in this world and in the akhirah. So I make dua Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, give us an understanding. As I said, that verse was given to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the night of Mi'raj. Right up there, he is being blessed with that verse. And it was for the ummah at large. So therefore, that dua is accepted dua. The last verses of Surah Baqarah, they are accepted dua. We should make it part of our duas and ask it as a dua. It is not to be recited. When we are reading the Quran Sharif, it will be recitation. But when we are making dua, then we must have the background in mind and then beg with deep-hearted pain to Allah Ta'ala and see inshallah how we will see the benefits of the dua. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, hardship, pain, suffering and problems of the ummah around the globe. And all mankind, Allah Ta'ala must remove the difficulties, bless them with hidayat. May Allah Ta'ala bless everyone with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.